Morning, Westwood. Good to see you here this morning. I'm going to have to do just a couple of things to get set up. One of them is to wheel one of these heavy tables over. Not do any damage in the process. Is that good, Jenny? Perfect. Okay. Welcome online as well. Good to see everyone here. It is a bit hard to see with these lights bright. Thank you, Bob, for that update. Let's be in prayer. This message is very applicable in this situation and many others in our church. My name is Phil Pudlis. It's a pleasure for me to be wrapping up our First Thessalonians series that we've been doing in this church. And you know, one of the things that I love, and I love about Jesus, is Jesus as a teacher. And one of the things I love about Jesus as a teacher is that he used everyday things from his life to teach deep spiritual truth. And I've gone through lots of his teachings, and the things that I can remember about his teachings are those very things that he used. So this morning, in that spirit, I'm going to take a page from Jesus and introduce a friend. The friend is hiding way in the back here. Here he comes. Can you see way in the back? Very good, very good. I see some smiles, I see some nods. Some of you know what this is. This isn't just any old thing. His name is Henry. So be careful, okay? Henry and I would like you to participate in a game as we begin our sermon this morning. Would you do that? Online, you can participate as well. The first part of this game is to identify what Henry is and what Henry does. For 30 seconds, with someone near you, have a little chat and see if you can figure out what Henry is and what Henry does. Go. Okay, some good conversation happening out there. That's good. Part two of the game, because I'm guessing many of you know what Henry is and what Henry does. Part two of the game is, I'd like you to stand, a little more involved. If you have used Henry in the last year, 2023, if you've used Henry 2023, please stand. And online, make note of this, because you'll be participating in part three. Wow, we've got a goodly number who've used Henry. All right, third part of this game is, stay standing. You got to stay standing. Otherwise, the game doesn't work. I want to find out who's the oldest user of Henry. So I'm going to look here. I'm going to say, anyone who's 50 years and younger, find your seat. If you're 50 years and older and you've used Henry, stay standing. I'm going to go quick. 65, if you're 65 and younger, have a seat. Wow, we've got some. How about 67? 70? Ooh, 71? 72? Oh, we're left with two. 73? Look at each other and tell each other's age. Who's the oldest? Painful? 74? 75. Oh, he's one. He doesn't even have to tell his age. Forgot this part, but I didn't forget. His prize? Oh, Henry. Okay, fun little way to start a sermon, isn't it? Boy, I'm forgetting everything this morning. Where did the clicker go? Is it on the ground? It should be there. We've got tech folks that can help us. Ah, there we go, behind Henry. Perfect. Henry is my faithful trustee. He's a little bit rusty. Fertilizer spreader. You pour fertilizer in the bucket, as you can see in the picture. You walk him around the yard and he spreads lovely fertilizer all over the grass. He has a key role in promoting growth and health of our lawn at home. And I know if you forget everything that's said this morning, you're going to remember Henry. Maybe O. Henry Barr, but you're going to remember Henry. Keep him in mind this morning. My message is simply entitled, Fertilize Our Church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would turn there in your Bibles. That would be great. I get to wrap up our series this morning. Very small map up on the screen. Thessaloniki as it's called today. The church there was established, we're told by historians, around 50 AD. So not long after Jesus left, Paul planted a church here in Thessalonica. This old modern city is in northern Greece. Has anyone from our church been here, been there? Thessaloniki? Wow, we've got a few. Talk to them afterwards about what it's like. I don't know if it looked like this when you were there, but it looks like a wonderful city. One of the things that was happening to the Christians, and again, historians tell us the church was only a year old when Paul writes this letter. The Christians were being killed, some of them because of their faith in Jesus. Being a follower of Jesus might have you stoned, beaten, crucified, or tortured to death. A very important backdrop to this letter. Now, I know things are starting to get uncomfortable for us who follow Jesus in North America. Are we going to get to the place that the Thessalonians found themselves in? Being killed for their faith, being killed for following Jesus. One of my favorite sayings coming out of COVID was, time will tell. We don't know if that's going to come to us, but time will certainly tell. But you may be here this morning, you may be online, and circumstances are tough, very tough in your life. You too, like the Thessalonians did, need a boost, need some fertilizer, if you like. Let's see how this passage and what's going on in this passage might deliver that boost. I'm using the New Living Translation as we begin. Verse 11, find it in your Bibles or follow along on the screen. So, verse 11 starts, encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. Our passage begins with the word so. Those of you who are Bible scholars know that anytime you see the word so or therefore or a synonym of those two words, you have to look back and see what it is talking about. Last week, Pastor Rob led us through the passage where Paul was teaching these persecuted Thessalonians two big truths in the church. What would happen when they die? And all about the coming back of Jesus Christ. Two big truths. Paul says, so in light of those big truths, do something. Paul says, engage in these two activities with each other. What are the activities? Encourage each other and build each other up. For me, I'll use fertilize each other. If you're writing things down, this would be a good thing to write down, because in the original language, these two words mean the following. It's a very important definition. Individual Christians, so the idea of one-on-one, constantly, so it's a regular activity, privately, watching out for each other and caring for one another to promote growth. Let me say that again. Christians, individual Christians, one-on-one, constantly, privately, watching out for and caring for one another to promote growth. I like what Paul does. He compliments the Thessalonians because even at a year old, they're already engaging and learning what these two activities mean, even in the midst of their very difficult circumstances. And we're left to wonder, what do these two activities actually involve? What does it mean to encourage and to build up? Paul answers that in the following verses. Let's pray as we begin. Lord God, in your word it says, faith in you, belief in you, following you comes from hearing your words. We're going to hear your words this morning, dear God, and our prayer is that your word would do its work in each of our lives to the point where we are actually walking this out. We want to be Bible studiers. We want to be Bible doers this morning, dear God. And all God's people said, amen. All right, let's dive in and see what Paul has to say about encouraging and building up. First two verses. Dear brothers and sisters, or as I like to say with some of you, dear brethren and sistren, honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Verse 13, show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. Live peacefully with each other. Each of you have received a little card as you came in. If you didn't, this card is kind of a help card after we leave here. We want this skill, these two skills, to be deeply embedded in each of us. If you need a card, the ushers have these cards. Just slip up your hand and we'll send you one or give you one. It's a nice little thing that you can tuck away somewhere as a reminder. But we're going to use this. It's simply called a checklist for encouragers. And you'll see on the left, there's a column that has the Bible reference. In the middle has a little snippet from the Bible reference. And then on the right-hand side, it has a suggested application. So let's do this with verse 12. The little snippet says, honor leaders. The word honor has the idea of appreciation. Paul says to the Thessalonians, show your appreciation for your leaders, for their guidance, their hard work among you. Now, if you're a leader in the Thessalonian church, how would you might be a shown appreciation? Well, maybe somebody knew how to write and they could take a little piece of parchment and write a little note on a piece of parchment and hand it to one of the leaders. Maybe others went to the market and they knew their leader really loved big, juicy pomegranates. And they bought a juicy pomegranate and they gave it to their leader as a sign of appreciation for them. Maybe some shared ideas on how the Thessalonian church could improve. Paul urged them, give anything to your leaders that spoke of appreciation, and in doing so, you are honoring them. I saw the list of leaders in our church this week. There's a long list of leaders here. Several of you in our midst are our leaders. The urge here is to find someone, one of our leaders, shower some appreciation on them. Not something that would be appreciating for you, but something that would be appreciating for them. You have to get to know them or someone close to them to find out what they like. But in doing so, you appreciate them. Verse 13 says, show them great respect and love. The opposite of that is often what leaders get showered with. Grumbling and complaining. right? When things go sideways, we are so good at grumbling and complaining. Now think of the Thessalonian situation and how easy it would be for them to complain. Maybe they've seen one of their brothers or sisters die because of their faith. You can't tell me that there would be some grumbling and complaining coming out of that. Paul also says, get along with your leaders, each of them in a peaceful manner. Cooperate versus disseminate disunity. Be part of the solution. Fertilize our leaders. Encourage and build them up. Let's go on. This is a packed passage, and we'll see lots of ways, four of them in these verses right here. Interesting ones. Verse 14, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Ooh. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. Let's do the first one. Urge someone not to be lazy. Arlene and I, a while back, enjoyed a cruise from Los Angeles to Vancouver. Some of you here have probably enjoyed a cruise as well. There, on a cruise, you can sit literally all day long, eat, drink, and be merry, and do absolutely nothing. The epitome of being lazy. I'm going to tell us this morning, church, God did not design the church to be a cruise ship. All right? The church needs everyone participating. There's always something to do in the church, and God has gifted each one of us with everything the church needs for growth and health. When you see somebody idling, being lazy, urge them to get involved in the mission. I like the suggestion on the bookmark. Ask someone to join you in a church project. We saw this summer, didn't we? So many people participated in the Daniel Daily Vacation Bible School, led by Twyla. If I could interview her today, I bet you she would say she was built up and encouraged by the amount of cooperation that came from this church. A perfect example of not being idle, but getting involved. Next, build up the timid. The idea here in the original language is those who lack courage or those who have become discouraged somehow. I would be discouraged if one of my brothers and sisters had just been killed. I'd be wondering, what's going on here, God? We all face discouraging times in our lives, don't we? But when someone comes alongside us during that discouragement and props us up and encourages us, we're built up. Take care of the weak. This refers to spiritual weakness. Some people at Thessalonica, found themselves weakened in their faith because of what they saw going on. Remember, this church is only a year old. Their faith probably hadn't grown too much, although we don't know. Take care has the idea of those a little more mature in the faith grabbing on to someone who's a little bit weaker in the faith or is discouraged and holding on to them, making them feel they're not alone, they're being supported. Then there's the fertilizer of patience, being kind and caring with everyone, especially maybe they're stumbling, maybe they're making mistakes, maybe they're driving you crazy. Ever had anybody in your life like that? Of course we have. The opposite of patience is being short-tempered with them, right? Paul says, no, spread a good measure of patience on everyone. Four very practical ways to build up and encourage the church. Verse 15. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always tries to do good to each other and to all people. Not only were the Thessalonians responsible for their own lives in doing this, but catch it there. See to it that no one pays back evil for evil. So there's a responsibility embedded here that we are sort of into each other's back pocket. In other words, watching out for each other, caring for one another, and seeing what we're doing. Put your imagination caps on. Our moderator, one of our leaders, Bob Gammer, came up just a little bit earlier. But imagine we're in Thessalonica back in the day. Imagine we had gotten word that today at noon, our brother Bob is due to be executed because of his faith in Jesus, because of his role in this church. What kind of evil would that trigger in me? What kind of evil would that trigger in you? Revenge, hatred, bitterness. You fill in the blank. Paul says, help each other go against these things. When circumstances scream revenge, move out in a supernatural kind of way and try to do good to everyone. Notice the words try there. This is very, very difficult. But if you are in our church and you've learned how to do this, can you see how wonderful fertilizer this is for the next person who doesn't quite know how to do that? Marvelous fertilizer. When's the last time we've spoken to one another about how's the evil in your heart doing? How's that revenge feeling doing in your heart? It's not a conversation we have too often, but it's maybe one that we need to have more often. Tremendous fertilizer. Tremendous way to grow in our church. It gets a little more challenging. In verse 16, Paul says, always be joyful. We always got to remember, right, who these words are going to initially. The Thessalonians, Paul is saying, always be joyful in the midst of this persecution, Paul? What does that mean? How did Paul get there? I can't wait when I get to heaven to have a sit-down conversation with Paul and ask him personally about this to see how he got to where he was that he could say this. But you know, Paul's written a lot in the Bible, and I have a good hunch as to how he got here. Let me try and string this together. This would require a whole sermon, but here's my summary. Paul suffered greatly. It's outlined in several of the letters, and many times had near-death experiences himself until he actually died. And what it seems like is that through suffering the hard things in his life, God had forged in Paul this emotion of joy. Not happiness, but joy. As he got to know Jesus, as he got to know the kingdom benefits of what it meant to be in relationship with Jesus, his responsibilities, his privileges, there was this deepening and growing sense of satisfaction with Jesus. Not his standing in life, not what he had accumulated, not the circumstances he found himself in, but pure and simply his relationship with Jesus. When the hard things came to him, he started to lean more and more and more on those. Those of you who know the words, right? I'm putting this all aside so that I can know Jesus more. And the Holy Spirit works this emotion of joy. Happiness, on the other hand, depends on what's happening in my life. I think that's why it's called happiness. Happenings, happiness. Things are good, I'm happy. However, when things are not so good, happiness is gone. Where did it go? It went with the happenings. Joy is something that is forged deep within us and can be drawn on in any circumstance in life. If you've got to that point in your life, I know there's several here in our church who've had very difficult things going on. I've also seen you've been able to hold on to Jesus. You've been able to hold on what you know about him. And that has supported you through the tough stuff. Can you see with me that that is high-grade fertilizer that the church needs? We all need to learn how to get to this rejoice always stage in our life. And if you're there, this needs to be shared. Verse 17, never stop praying. Genuine prayer is not just flapping of the lips, but a lifting of our hearts to God. This is something we can do no matter where we are, the time of day, no matter what circumstance we're in, till our minds will let us do it no longer. We can pray for ourselves, we can pray for loved ones, we can pray for our church, we can pray for others. And when we sit and pray with one another, those original words of this passage, it is encouraging and building up. Some of you may have noticed that, a young man came over to me while we were standing here this morning, put his arm on me and prayed with me. Encouragement, building up, fertilizer for this old guy before he goes up and shares the word. Thanks, Nolan. Behind the scenes, my wife does that every time I'm sharing the word. Thanks, dear. We can do that for one another. Verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you who belong to Jesus. This kind of relates to this be joyful always part, right? Paul wasn't thankful for the evil in his life. No. He was thankful for who Jesus was in his life and what Jesus had been able to forge in him. He actually got to the point of seeing the circumstances of his life being used by God for very good things in his life. This is maturity, folks. This is high-grade fertilizer. And again, if you've gotten to this point in your Christian walk, this fertilizer needs to be spread for the good of our church. There's a little bit more. You're starting to get the idea of what it means to encourage and to build one another up. Let's go to verse 19 through 22. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. You remember the Holy Spirit came on people in Acts as flames of fire and brought warmth and brought light and brought enthusiasm to those people. Stifle has the idea of soaking a wet blanket full of water and putting it on you, like totally diminishing the flame. What is stifling the Spirit of God in me this morning? Another conversation with a trusted brother or sister. What is stifling in the Spirit in me? And having that chat and moving into a better direction with it, putting it away and moving into it. What encouragement, what building up that is. Verse 20, do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Another way of building up and encouraging. Perhaps there were speculations going on in the Thessalonian church about when Jesus would come back or what the heck all this suffering was about. It sounded like nobody was taking seriously the prophetic words that they had back in the day. God clearly taught that the prophets were important. God clearly taught, whether they were foretelling the future or simply telling people the truth about things, they were not to be taken lightly. How do we know what the prophecies are? We need to be into the Word of God to test what is being said in the church and outside the church. I don't know if it's just me getting older or what, but there seems to be more and more conspiracies, more and more heresies floating around than I ever remember. And for us, We need people in this church, we need everybody to know our word well so that we can say, hey, that's off base. Verse 22, stay away from every kind of evil. There were all kinds of evils in the church in Thessalonica because it was kind of a very important central hub back then. All kinds of religions, all kinds of evil stuff was infiltrating in the city. Just as it is today, evil seems to be multiplying like rabbits. I used to raise rabbits when I was a kid, and boy, they can multiply fast. Evil, everywhere we turn. To be into each other's lives close enough so that we can have the discussion. What's evil in our life? What temptations are we facing? And how are you getting through that temptation? Have you had that conversation with anyone lately? Because if you do, and you get to the point of getting to the point, well, let's go this way, let's do this instead of that, encouragement and building up is happening. Before COVID got rolling, two guys and myself took this on seriously. We met every week, and the goal was to encourage and to build each other up in the Lord, to walk this stuff out. We started by creating a safe emotional space to be into each other's lives like this and into the Word. Sometimes one of us would come to a meeting with a heavy heart. Something during the week had discouraged us. The other two would patiently listen to understand and then enter into bearing the burden. Then inevitably, one of them had something to infuse courage again. Other times, we simply pray because we all come with heavy hearts that particular week. All right, we got to pause and bring this to the Lord. It's encouraging when we pray one-on-one with each other like that. Another occasion, we would come and temptations would be on the table. What's tempted us? What did we overcome? What did we fail? And how could we do things differently? You get the picture. We're learning to get into each other's lives, and in the process, we're fertilizing each other. I know there's other groups like that meeting in this church. I would encourage you to continue on, because it is the fertilizing work in the church. I would exhort all of us to form this kind of small group. Meet with one, two, maybe other trusted brothers and sisters. Get deep into one another's lives. Ask the hard questions. I'm going to ask our worship team come as we close. Let me draw you back to verse 11. The idea is individual Christians constantly, privately watching out and caring for one another. Because actually, you know what? Here's Henry. We are all called to be Henrys in this church, or Henriettas, if you like. Right? Maybe this is new to you this morning. As part of being part of a church participant, you've not really heard this or entered in. Take one thing off of the checklist this week and walk it out. A little secret in the spiritual life, it's in the walking out where the magic happens, if you want to call it that, where we really draw close to God. It's in the walking out of it. Those of you who are encouragers here, take something off the card to enhance your encouraging abilities. Build people up. After all, here's the deal. Fertilizer is useless if it stays in the bag, right? I urge us all to go and fertilize. Amen? Amen. Let's close with a song, and then we've got a benediction following that.
Why don't you stand with us? I just want to point out before we sing this song that the very last point, if you look at this checklist for encouragement, it says, realize that the Christian life is not on our own strength, but through God's power. And we're going to sing about that. Yet not I, but Christ in me. And it's just a beautiful opportunity to realize that as we partner with the Holy Spirit, if we do all of these things in our own strength, we're not going to get very far. We're going to get really tired. But as we cooperate with the Spirit in us, with Christ in us, then all of this is possible, and all of this is an outworking of that cooperation. So. Mm.
Before the throne, to this I hold, my hope is only Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, team, for leading us in that beautiful song. We're going to close this morning with the last few words in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. We want to read these verses together. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a sacred kiss. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. I was tempted to say, go out and share a holy kiss with one another. But that's a different culture. All right, go in peace. Amen.